If you're not, we'll open the regular meeting of the Groundwater Replenishment System Steering Committee of Monday, April 10th, 2023. You all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Place your right hand over your heart and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. All right. Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Roll call, Director Vanka.
Here.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Gallagher.
Here.
Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Shaver.
Here.
Director Tran.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Uten.
Here.
Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Sheldon. Director Dina Nguyen. Director Byrne.
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Thank you. This is the time for public comment. Do we have any written public comments or anybody with their hand raised, Madam Clerk?
I do not see any hands raised.
Any members of the public present that would like to speak? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar. We have one item. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move it.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you. Move on to informational items. Item number two is the GWRS operating budget summary. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mehul Patel will be presenting this item to the committee this evening. Mehul.
All right. Thank you very much. So we're going to give a little update on the OCWD budgeting process for the groundwater replenishment system. And this is something that we do every year at the April meeting of the GWRS Steering Committee. Just to give a little bit of background. So the GWRS is operated in the conditions of the operation, and the agreement between the two agencies, OCWD and OCSAN, is governed by our joint operations agreement. And in that agreement is a provision to present the operating budget for the groundwater replenishment system every year. As I said before, it's typically at the April steering committee meeting. And the reason behind that is to show that the water district, through what we call our water production department, budgets sufficiently to not only run the GWRS, but maintain it and operate it over the life of the project. So each year we present what we call our general fund budget that covers the operation of the groundwater replenishment system, as well as our Green Acres treatment facility, which is our non-potable reuse facility, which OCSAN happens to be one of our customers that they receive some of our non-potable water for plant one and plant two purposes. And then we also maintain, as part of our overall budget, separate from our general fund budget, we have a refurbishment and replacement budget. And that's what the water district uses for long-term maintenance and for paying for things like membrane replacements, UV lamp replacements, large dollar purchases that are part of the normal maintenance and operation of the facility. And you'll see in the budget here that for our upcoming 23-24 budget, that's $15.5 million. So in April of each year is when the OCWD Board of Directors votes on the budget for our upcoming fiscal year, which starts July 1st. So as part of that budget, staff comes with the recommendation for what the operating budget should be for the groundwater replenishment system. And we are budgeting as if our production would be 134,000 acre feet. 134,000 acre feet a year is the production after the final expansion is complete, with its capacity at 130 MGD. So the numbers I'll show are based on producing 134,000 acre feet a year. Our water quality is different. We are now taking, as part of the final expansion, water from plant two, from the trickling filter solids contact process. That water has a little bit higher organic content, a little higher salinity content, but that's accounted for in the pricing. What that does will raise the amount of energy that we would normally use prior to the final expansion, because obviously we're not only producing more water, but we're treating water that's of higher salinity. And then chemical prices, which OC Sand staff has seen as well, have continued to go up, and they will continue to go up in the next year, and we've tried to budget for that accordingly. And power prices in particularly have gone up quite a bit. And so we try to account for that in their new budget. And then we'll continue to operate with the high online factor. Even during years of construction, online factor has been greater than 97%. It's been greater than 99% in years when we didn't have construction, either through the initial expansion or just the recently the final expansion. So one of the things that allows us to continue to have stable operational costs while also having a high online factor is that we still get a good quality effluent from OC Sand, whether it's from plant one or now with their new plant two feed. It's very consistent, high quality, low in solids, which helps us continue to operate at a high operational level and high online factor. And then the district also participates in a demand response energy reduction program, which with the higher online energy usage, which the higher flow rates at 130 MGD, we're able to shed more load during a curtailing event, only if we can curtail in a safe manner that doesn't affect OC Sand operation. The district earns up to $1 million a year now through a company called NLX through the demand response program. We continue to maintain a robust preventative maintenance program and asset management program through a computerized maintenance management system. And then we have our 15 years of operational experience to guide us through things that we know we need to budget for properly. So one of the things we're going to focus on is now that we have this new water quality is to continue to operate the RO at the highest pH possible, which reduces chemical costs, try to maintain our optimum chlorine residual, which should bring down the pressures both in our microfiltration RO process, and then try to optimize all of our chemical addition with this new water quality to continue to operate at the lowest possible operating costs. So in the past, we've and we continue to go on forward. We have what's called a Joint Operations Committee, where the operations group from both the OC San and OCWD meet on a monthly basis to discuss any new changes in processes, either at the OC Sand side or on the GWS side, as well as any upcoming construction projects, which now that the final expansion is done, there's less on the water district side, but there's obviously ongoing projects at OC Sand, a lot of capital improvement programs and rehabilitation programs that we work together to try to minimize the loss of flow to GWS and minimize our impact on OC Sand with our residual streams. And then OC Sand has continued to optimize the collection system to have a robust source control program, which also improves the quality coming to GWS. So if we want to look at the budget, the last year's budget, 22-23, reflected a lower production rate, 110,000 acre feet. It was under the old water quality conditions. The recommended budget, which we'll be taking to the OCWD Board of Directors in April at our next board meeting, in a week and a half here, is based on 134,000 acre feet and tries to take into account the things that we know have increased significantly over the past year. And that's power and utilities and plant chemicals. And those are reflected in the cost. So you could see that we've jumped up from roughly $39 million in the past fiscal year up to $53 million. And that's meant to take into account these large increases in power and chemical costs and then reflect the different quality water and what we think the system will operate at to produce this higher level of production, 134,000 acre feet. So staff feels like the budget here is sufficient, should be enough to keep us running at our high online factor and continue to serve as an outfall or an effluent, so to speak, for OC Sand during winter storm events, which was one of the main reasons for our partnership in the first place. And then obviously continue to maximize the amount of recycled water we can produce for replenishing the aquifer. So with that, I can take any questions you may have.
Any questions from the committee? Trevor?
A few years ago, I was privileged to take the tour, and we had just got new cartridges for our filtration system. Mm-hmm. Have we upgraded those since then? And how much more did they cost if we did?
Yeah, so we have a different series of filters that we have throughout the system. So when I think your last tour, we were replacing microfiltration membranes.
Exactly.
So we continue to do that. And as part of the final expansion that we just completed, we've actually switched over to a new style membrane, what we call PVDF, polyvinylidene fluoride. That's what we put in our new trains. And depending upon how those operate now with the new water quality, if they operate like we think, we will probably start to retrofit the older trains with this newer membrane, this newer type of membrane that in theory should give us higher production and lower pressures over time. But we didn't want to commit to a full plant retrofit till we see how the new water quality affects the existing product and the newer trains. But that's our ultimate goal, is to retrofit the whole plant to the new membrane. And then in the RO side, we've continued to replace membranes every 5 years and get them all to a new state, so that when we start up with the final expansion, we have new membranes across the whole RO system. So that's the goal. And with our research and development group, we're continuing to look at new RO membranes, things that can operate at lower and lower pressure, which should hopefully reduce our operating costs even more over time.
I was also, Mr. Chair, very impressed with the water district's ratio of cost for human resources versus operation. It was very synonymous to what we do at OC San, like in the 30%. But yet in the next year, it's going to drop down to 25%. So you have less cost for the human aspect of the employees versus operation. I think that probably because of the increased cost in what we're using for operations, but I think it's a very positive sign. Just wanted to pay tribute to you for that line. Thank you.
Any other questions from committee members?
No. Nicole?
Yeah.
I love how you're managing this effort. And I'm just kind of not surprised by the increase in budget. We are getting 30% increase in the production from this. And I knew when we first approved the construction that there was going to be increase in TDS. But now that we're together, the increase in TDS exceeds what we had predicted. And I know that you presented a discussion about this issue when it first came up in January. And I was hoping that I would see another update as to what the status of that is. We need to investigate the sources of salinity in the from plant P2, and that we spent all this money to build it. We have to make sure that we optimize the use of the plant. I'd like to see a goal of getting, instead of like 3,000 TDS, to be about 1,000, like everybody else does. If we can, that would be ideal. And so I'd like, if we can have a goal to do something like that, knock it down so that we can reduce our cost. I'd appreciate it.
I can tell you that staff are working together to find the source of where the water is coming from, both in the city of Newport Beach and Huntington Beach. So it's an ongoing investigation. We're all working together, both cities, water district, and sanitation district.
Yeah, I've heard that, good feedback from people that, yes, they are cooperating and are excited about this. I just think this is great stuff. As a hydrogeologist, I like to find out where the problems are, to, you know, understand what the problem is and then come up with solutions. So I'm happy to, you know, hear what you have to say so that you know that we know we're making some progress, and maybe we'll have some ideas that you pursue further.
Engineers like to do the same.
Anybody else? All right, we'll move on to item number 3, the GWRS operations budget.
That'll be me as well.
Yes, we're in the hot seat today.
So this one will just so, the operations update is what we give also at each steering committee meeting. So in our last operational period, which was from January 1st to March 31st, the fiscal year production for the year is 75,040 acre feet. And the goal is to have 82,575 acre feet by this time in the fiscal year. So we're a little bit short by about 7,500 acre feet. Some of that was expected because we still had some construction activity going on well into February and even a little bit right now into March. But the bigger reason for that is we have dropped the production in the middle of March to accommodate the
our four bay recharge operations. With all the storm flows that we've had, we've really filled up almost every recharge basin we have. And so we've limited the amount of GWRS flow that we send there. While at the same time, we're seeing the highest levels of groundwater we've seen in a long time along the coast. So our barrier injection flows are at some of the lowest rates we've seen since GWRS has gone online. We're averaging about 14 MGD over the past 2 months. And typically we'd be well above 20 MGD even at this time of year. So it's a good news story in the respect that the basin is really full, but it does, you know, we have had to ratchet back GWRS a little, but now that this last series of storms have ended and we've reached the conservation pool behind Prado, as we start to drain this pool, we're going to slowly start ramping up the GWRS flow because we'll have some recharge basin capacity available. So I think by next meeting, we'll be back up closer to the 130 MGD, I hope, by then. But we did average, even with all of those outages, about 92 MGD in this last three-month period. And that's because we were around 110 MGD the entire month of January before the rains really started affecting our recharge basin capability.
I'm not as optimistic as Mayhul is, and I'll tell you why. Right now, as Mayhul said, we've had a tremendous amount of rain this winter. And what happens, and Director Rowe can appreciate this, when you get these basins that are full of water, there's not enough, I'm going to use the wrong term, but like escape velocity. There's water mounding that occurs such that the water can't percolate as quickly as it would normally. In a normal dry year, and as an example, one of our recharge basins that's dedicated to GWRS waters is called Mira Loma Basin. It's because it's on Mira Loma Avenue. But it's between two very, very large recharge basins that we use for stormwater capture, Anaheim Lake and Kramer. And when Anaheim and Kramer are full of stormwater, as they are now, they're recharging quite a bit of water themselves, and Mira Loma is right in between, and it's competing with that space underground, if you will. And then the other dedicated basin, La Palma Basin, we just recently cleaned. There was quite a bit of algal growth in that basin. So we're hoping that that'll help restore and get things up to where we can get more out of the plant. The barrier is amazing. I mean, water levels are so high, as Mayhul said, it's really unprecedented, the limited amount of water that we're able to inject. We know if we inject too much, we start getting rising groundwater in Huntington Beach, and we get phone calls from Huntington Beach complaining that there's water coming out of the ground, and so we have to cut back on the barrier. The other thing that we really have going for us, and it's a good thing, is right now we have about 19,000 acre feet of water behind Prado Dam. And so it's almost to it's the capacity at which the Corps allows us to store water behind the dam. And we're slowly releasing that. So we'll probably be releasing or draining that pool for the next 4 months.
Yeah.
So it's a slow drain, and there again, that's keeping all those basins full. So we've got different strategies on what to do. I think we're going to try to get another one of the basins, maybe Miller Basin, and put GWRS water in there. It's just that we want to capture the free water, which is the storm water and the base flow, and then we want to try to get as much GWRS water up into the basin as we can to help refill it. So even though we're averaging maybe 50 MGD out of the plant or 60 MGD right now, that will gradually go up. And certainly in a typical year where we're not as wet, we won't be having this problem. We'll be able to pump the full amount up there. So it's just kind of this perfect storm where we had a tremendously wet winter. And as I said, we know that we're not going to get those all the time. So so we've had to adjust a little bit. But the flow will be up on Friday.
Free water.
Yes. We'll make that happen. And then the other thing, Sandy will go into more detail in the next agenda item, but we did finish the final, at least the commissioning portion. That a lot of that activity continued in January, as I mentioned, and that's what really allowed us to to ramp up production throughout the month of January before the storm flow issues came upon us. So with that, I can take any questions you have.
Questions from the committee?
Director. Well, I just kind of talking about the pelvic barrier injection wells. 96 to 98, I worked for the district repairing the injection wells. They basically were injecting at the 100 feet ahead when they first started water factor 21, and it damaged the wells badly for 20 years. There was leakage in the shallow soils, and I went and spent $2 million of district's money to seal up the soils so that we can inject at reasonable pressures. And I said, you can operate the wells at a higher pressure in deeper aquifers, but watch the shallow wellhead water level or water pressure. If it gets above 5 PSI, then it'll be flooding in your vaults again. It's a simple concept. You can inject at higher pressures in deeper aquifers, but watch the shallow wellhead. It's a soil mechanics thing with hydraulic pressure in the voids of the soil. And you can inject at a higher pressure, but you just have to watch that. I know that since I left and I kind of gave that definition, staff kind of followed it, but they just came up with a new Talbot Barrier operations manual that I was aware of on our website, and they're injecting a 10 PSI, and that's okay. You know, it's kind of a minor amount, but I think you could still inject at higher pressures in the deeper aquifers. So look forward to investigating that further. Maybe you'll get another 5 to 10 MGD into the barrier.
Director Schauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've had a chance to visit Prairie Dam, and spent a lot of time there. There's a lot of wildlife, a gazillion things on that side. I just had that question. Where do they go?
Well, the birds are migratory, yeah. So they.
I was worried about the land.
Oh yeah.
the critters.
Got a corona.
Yeah, exactly. They find actually higher ground. There's not that it's that interesting, but there's quite a wild boar problem behind Prado, and that they're trying to deal with because they're becoming very numerous. If you will. There is a lot of wildlife. I mean, that's one thing. The district owns 2,000 acres of land behind Prado. We have a wetlands. I think the board should be commended for their environmental stewardship and bringing back an endangered songbird from the, you know, near distinction to where it has quite a large population now. So we do manage some of the environmental things. And that's a challenge with holding water behind Prado also, because the more water we want to hold for our purposes, the more environmental mitigation we have to do so. And so it really is a challenge. It takes a long time. I think it took 12 years to go from 498 to 505, just at 7 feet of additional storage. And we're getting ready to, now that we have 505 year round, to go another 3 feet, but it's going to, it just takes a super long time.
I'd help with the boar.
I'm sorry?
I'd help with the boar. Yeah, and I'd be happy to go out there.
Can arrange a weekend excursion behind Prado Dam.
Any other questions or?
There's boars.
They kill a lot of people every year.
Yeah.
Okay. Item four.
So item four will be a update on the GWS final expansion, and our GWS program manager Sandy Scott Roberts will give an update and. Big part of the update is that we're at the end.
Yahoo.
Yes. I don't know. This may be the last presentation on the final expansion project. We shall see. Okay, let me see if I can hide this. All right. Okay, so I'm excited to present on the final expansion project tonight. Just a quick overview on the project. I know many of you are familiar, perhaps there's a few that aren't, but the final expansion project was expanding our current GWS facility, the Advanced Water Treatment Facility site, by an additional 30 million gallons per day so that we can treat a total of 130 million gallons per day. We would treat that through MF, RO, microfiltration, reverse osmosis, ultraviolet light, and then we send it to our groundwater basin. Plant two secondary effluent conveyance facilities had to be constructed in order to make the final expansion possible. So those included a pump station at OC Sand Plant 2, flow equalization tanks, the rehabilitation of existing pipeline in order to convey that water up to GWRS. And then lastly, the final expansion project also included the need to segregate out the non-reclaimable flows that go into OC Sand Plant 2, particularly the Sari flows, Inland Empire brine line flows. Those were separated out through the Headworks project, managed by OC Sand, paid for by OCWD. And those flows are treated separately and get sent to the ocean outfall. The other flows we end up taking for recycling through GWRS. So here's a picture in February of our newly added microfiltration capacity. Those are the white awnings. Unfortunately, the picture is a little uninteresting. You're just looking at the awnings. But when we take the tour, perhaps on Friday, you'll be able to see the microfilters. But it kind of shows nicely what I like to always point out is that this project was planned. It was planned originally with the original GWRS facility, an initial facility at 70 MGD, then the initial expansion at 100 MGD. And you can kind of see a slightly different color of the canopy over here. That was the initial expansion completed in 2015. And then here we are in final expansion, adding a train and a half of microfiltration capacity to reach that total 130 MGD capacity. Here's a picture of the conveyance facilities at Plant 2 with the Santa Ana River there in the background. So you can see the two flow equalization tanks, 6 million gallons in capacity, and our pump station, which pumps that water up to GWRS. So the final operation of the GWRS final expansion facility, we started our facility on December 5th. That was a big day. OC San had the Plant 2 facility segregated of the non-reclaimable and reclaimable flows. So we were for the first time able to send that water to our screenings facility at GWRS at Plant 1 and begin running it through our entire treatment process. So as part of our contract, there was a 90-day performance test. And so that kind of kicked off that test. We had an opportunity to inform our contractor, who is Shimmick Construction Company, of operational issues as they came up. It was kind of nice to have those 90 days to be able to remedy microfiltration valve issues, maybe see if interstage booster pumps needed fixing, which they did. And so it was good. We had those days to kind of try to fix up miscellaneous items that came up. We were able to ramp the plant up to the 130 MGD. So it does work. So that was good. The performance test concluded on March 5th. We do still have remaining warranty items that Shimmick is still following up on. We were impacted by the global supply chain issues due to the pandemic. So there's remaining miscellaneous items that are still scheduled to come within the year. And so we still have a one-year performance bond on Shimmick Construction Company that we will maintain till March of 2024 to make sure we keep up on those miscellaneous items. And I guess the good news here is that on April 5th, we formally presented to the Orange County Water District Board of Directors to file the notice of completion of this project, and it was approved. And so we are now have a complete final expansion project. But just to go over with this group as well, some of the construction metrics. So our change orders, final change orders to date, our original bid amount was just under $200 million. And our total approved change orders, 1 through 33, were still in a credit of $1.8 million. So our revised total contract amount is $198 million, just over. Now, I would like to point out, we did have a large $8.7 million credit right at the beginning of the project, We had a placeholder for our microfiltration system. We had a placeholder value because we hadn't bid out the supplier of the MF system at that time. And so there was a little bit of a contingency in that amount. So it was a little higher. We didn't want to have to negotiate with a contractor for a higher price. However, the good news there was not $8.7 million high. So we think we saved some money by competitively bidding out the microfiltration system. And so this project has, because of that reason, been living with this credit change order, which makes it seem all nice and rosy. But I'd like to also point out, let's now get rid of that $8.7 million credit and then add up all the change orders we've approved to date other than that credit. And we're just under 7 million there, 6,970,000. And that makes up about 3.5% of the bid price, which is within the project contingency that we budgeted for. So it's a good news story. It wasn't overrun with change orders, but we have been kind of celebrating with the credit there. So, but yeah. So here's just some construction overview stats that I've been showing at each one of these meetings. So we had our notice to proceed in November of 2019. We did grant 45 days over the 3-year construction duration for some miscellaneous global pandemic issues, delivery issues, rain days, more rain days than expected. Also some extension to get our permit approved. So that's what makes up those 45 days. So we've got our end completion date, March 31st, 2023. So what's fun to note is in the beginning of this project, we said we'd be done first quarter of 2023. We made it with like no days to spare. So first quarter 2023, we're done. Our original contract amount, I already went over that with the $1.8 million credit, and we've expended it all as of March 31st. And so I'm showing this graphic here, just kind of showing the predicted monthly expenditures at the beginning of the project and what actually was billed by Shimmick Construction Company throughout the duration. You can see here, it looked like they weren't perhaps working as hard during these months, but they did make it up. And we have reached our total predicted expenditures. And I was always asked to show this graphic too. It's a little unexciting because it's 100% complete on expenditures and duration at this time. Our overall project budget. So we originally had budgeted $310 million for the entire project, but our final project budget is substantially under budget. We did have some savings from our design engineer, Black and Veatch. They aren't going to be spending their full amount. We had our construction management team. We had a little increase in our construction management costs. The construction, you can see here, the credit of the 1.8 is reflected in this construction amount. We also had a lower than expected bid on our pipeline rehab project completed by JF Shea. And some lower than anticipated admin costs. So that brings our construction contingency now to zero because we're complete. OC Sands supporting projects, that's their headworks project and their plant water pump station, they're projecting to be under budget. They also saw some lower than expected bid prices. And this number also still includes the contingency in their construction contracts. So our final project budget is at $282 million. The schedules for the three major projects are shown here, and we are complete with the advanced water treatment facility, the conveyance facilities, our pipeline, and OC Sand headwork modification has also been completed as well. So I'm happy to answer any questions you might have on this project.
Andy, I'd like to commend you and your team. It sounds like you've done an excellent job. I haven't been on this committee for all that long, but it is nice to get on a committee where you get a report like that.
Yeah, and of course, obviously, the whole team working together, OC Sand staff, actively involved with them, our OCWD staff, Shimmick Construction Company working hard, Black and Veatch doing a great job. We had the design engineer on site, so they were able to answer questions very quickly. Our construction management team, Butier, SPI, assisting us with startup. It truly was a great team. So like to give everybody a shout out.
Any comments, Director Tran?
Yeah, I got a question going forward in terms of upkeep, maintenance, and refurbishment. Do we have a projected budget for that?
Yes, I mean, I can answer. So I help out with Mayhole and Randy by updating the R&R model for new assets that we add. So that is being worked on, and I'm not sure if that answers your question. Are we looking for something more specific?
Dollars and cents. The funding resources to cover them.
Yeah, so like in my previous presentation, for the next fiscal year, we're putting $15.5 million into the R&R fund, and we have a projection going out for the next 5 to 10 years in our R&R model, and that's reflected in the RA and VPP numbers that we bring forward to the board and the projections and the headroom calculation that John Kennedy showed at our last full board meeting. That's reflected in the fact that we have a certain amount of R&R that we budget each year based on our projections of specifically RO membrane life and microfiltration membrane life, which are the big expenditures that can be anywhere from $1 million to $8 million every 5 years to do those replacements as they're needed throughout the plant.
But on an annual basis, how much do we budget for energy, chemicals, labor, all that?
Yeah. So operating costs now on an annual basis is about $52 million. So that's labor, electricity, chemicals, maintenance, and paying back the debt on the various construction projects.
And those are costs that OCWD bears. And I mean, for those directors that aren't aware, the way the funding structure was set up originally was that OCSD and OCWD shared equally the capital costs of the first project, the 70 million gallon per day project. And then OCWD assumed all of the operations and maintenance costs. And then for any future expansion, the initial and the final, OCWD bared the entire capital cost and the entire O&M costs. Not to say that OC San has not put in their fair share towards these projects, because they've done a lot of work on their side of the fence to improve their infrastructure. They don't charge us for the water. There's a lot of different things in the mix that, and that's what makes a partnership so unique, I think, as well.
Thank you.
Dr. Schauber?
Yes. have we looked at any future grant money from either the federal or state to help with this project as it goes forward? Because I know we're going to be making improvements, new technology. Why don't we start with, I think there should be some a lot of money available for that.
Yeah, most of the money is that we get from the federal government is for capital costs, as opposed to the ongoing operations and maintenance costs. We do have a very robust research department, and we do a considerable amount of research on new membranes, membrane technology. And we do receive some grant funding for some of the research that we do that would lead to lower operations and maintenance costs in the future.
I'm going to challenge Chad. Get the history people back out here. We're all there. And we say, we want the record rewritten at 1:30, and we still hold it.
Yeah.
It's a good thing we're doing that, because in Fort Worth, which has the second largest OC district in around, they're moving out, but they still use sand to backwash. So they're never going to catch us. But I will tell you, let's get those guys out here, because that did a lot for us publicity-wise, Chad. Yeah. I think it'd be great to do that again.
Good idea.
Thank you.
Well, I'd just like to add, I think it's great that we have the final expansion completed. I was on the board that approved this project back in 98. I knew that this would happen, although I think the original schedule said that it would be done by 2020, so we're a little late, but what do you know, 20 some years later. But the purpose I'm on the board is to be a champion for what I call the Complete Coastal Network. replacing a pipeline that's 50 years old along Ellis Avenue for the legacy wells, and continue it as a 5-foot diameter well going 12 miles all the way over to the Seal Beach Naval Weapons Station at Seal Beach and Westminster, as to be a complete coastal network to prevent seawater intrusion, but mainly for groundwater recharge along the coast. So that's my vision that I've had for 30 years, and it's included in the EIR EIS for GWRS, and I'm just bringing this up as something that we say we'd do in the future, and the future is now. So we're not quite done with GWRS. It's going to be many years, I think, for my vision of a complete coastal network facility to be completed to the extent that it should be. But that's what my interest is in this project. Thank you.
Dr. Gallagher.
One comment, one question. So first off, since this may be your last time, Sandy, presenting on this, I just wanted to say congratulations.
Thanks.
November 2019 was the notice to proceed.
Yes.
The world turns upside down and you miss the schedule by 3 months and you're only at 3.5% change orders. That's incredible. So that's definitely a worthy milestone. And then my second, I guess my question then is sort of to Director Rowe's comment is, I'm just curious, is there, OCWD has built up this expertise, staff, and experience. And I'm just curious, you've been working on this for so long. What comes next? And it sounds like there's a concept already out there.
It's been there for decades.
Yeah. And I'm just curious if there is some type of, obviously take some breathing room, but is there going to be some brainstorming? Are there ideas out there? Is there going to be a work plan? I'm just curious to see what you guys come up with next.
Yeah. In respect to recycled water?
GWRS. I mean, is there
GWRS?
Yeah.
Right now, we're at our full capacity. I mean, we designed the plant when we were planning back in the late 90s to be 130 million gallons per day. And actually, it's kind of interesting because back then we thought we'd be able to get all the flow, the some 170 million gallons per day from plant one. This whole concept of having to go to plant two was an expense that we really hadn't anticipated. Early on,
and kind of wrote it off,
and so right now we're recycling 100% of the recyclable water that OC San treats, and I mean the chances are moving forward in the future those flows aren't going to go up. They're hopefully they at least plateau, so that we can and stabilize. But there's a fear that there could be additional indoor conservation and that could go down a little, which would mean that we wouldn't be able to produce the 130 million gallons theoretically. What we are looking at doing as to potential mitigation against that is we are looking at technologies that would concentrate the brine.
Right.
So squeeze more of the fresh water out. The technology is there. We don't need it right now, but we're studying that. That could pose some additional problems from OC San for their discharge, the higher salinity. I mean, right now that's a question mark just with what OC San is dealing with today. So those are some challenges. We're the only place, I think, probably in the world that is recycling to the extent that we are, utilizing as much of the resource as we possibly could. So somehow, call it dumb luck, that 130 million gallon per day number just hit that maximum capacity. And as Sandy said, when we were planning the project, late 90s, early 2000s, the first project, we put in all of the underground piping sized to that 130 MGD so that we wouldn't have to go back and tear up the piping and add to it and all that sort of stuff. So the planning efforts that went into it, I think worked out very well. Now, what do we do with 130 that we have today? I think we'd like to put it back into the groundwater basin. Because that
would never be a component of that
water. No, never. We have this beautiful natural resource that's God gave to us. And there's no reason to go through the additional treatment that would be required. We'd have to run it through a water treatment plant, which we don't have. Met has one up in Yorba Linda. So can you imagine building pipelines that transfer 130 million gallons up to the Met treatment plant, along with the additional treatment that would take, we just don't need it. It doesn't make sense cost-wise. So we'll always need that water. It's allowing us right now and our board to have 85% pumping out of the basin, which is phenomenal. And if water demands continue to go down, that percentage will go up even more, because we've got to have people pumping the water so that we can pay our expenses. That's our source of revenue. So I don't know that there will be another place for this water. Director Rose suggests an alternative. I know for our future planning purposes, we do have a seawater gap up in Huntington Beach. And
we have a weapon station, essentially.
Yeah, our Sunset Gap, what we call the Sunset Gap. And we are developing a project. We were in the planning stages. We put monitoring wells in. We're doing modeling. We're seeing what it would take to inject water into that barrier. Could some of the GWS water be sent up there? You know, we'll certainly study that.
I think there's potential to get pure water from LA.
Well, we don't have to go into the merits of the project, you know, right now. But to answer, you know, Director Gallagher's problem about GWS water, that's kind of the extent of our thinking, I think, right now.
Thank you. Perfect. Okay, our next item is item number 5. This is the GWRS first quarter outreach report.
And we'll have a presentation from Gina Ayala, the OCWD Director of Public Affairs.
That's you. Okay, there we go. All right, good evening. Wanted to just give a brief update regarding outreach for the groundwater replenishment system. So this will be for the first quarter of this year, which is January through March. And then at the conclusion for the presentation, I'll give an update on what we have to look forward to regarding Friday's event and answer any questions. So outreach continues for the groundwater replenishment system, both in in-person and virtual formats. So you'll see here that we had just over 330 guests this last period, and there's a photo of some of the tour guests we have here. We do also continue to offer virtual tours. There's a lot of folks that take advantage of that. So for those folks where it works better and they're saving time commuting, they'll do virtual. And then we do offer standalone video. So Mike did a 30-minute technical video, and then we have a 10-minute general video. And those have been viewed about 11,000 times. So those have been a really good resource for continued outreach for the project. In addition to tours, we offer a really robust Speakers Bureau program. So not only do we talk about OCWD, but we also include the GWRS when appropriate. So we had 8 Speakers Bureau engagements this past quarter. Media and stakeholder outreach. I do want to mention that this week we do look forward to, I believe it's Wednesday, right, Mayhol, when on PBS there will be a show. It's called Nova. I don't know if some of you have seen it, but they came several months ago. They came last year. They did a walk and talk tour with Mayhol. They sat down for a very extensive interview. They've been communicating for several months, trying to gain photo and video assets and some of the knowledge that Mayhol and others have had. And so they're going to feature about 5 programs on the 1 hour 5 projects, rather, on the 1 hour program that will air on Wednesday night. And the GWRS will be one of them. So it's at 9 p.m. Wednesday, so you can be sure to tune into that, but then we'll also record it or send out the link. It'll be posted on PBS's website. So from January through March, we did have 36 global media hits for about 58 million people that were reached. And the GWRS webpage, which is housed on OCWD.com, does continue to get a lot of web traffic. In February, we did have a GWRS focus webinar, and we were able to feature Jim before he retired, and Mike, so general managers from both agencies, talking about the GWRS, the final completion, and how we reached the 100% reclaimable wastewater goal. awards. I did want to mention we are taking the opportunity, and we're working, we work very closely with OCSAN Public Affairs on all of our outreach activities, including award submissions. But we are taking opportunity this year to really apply for a lot of awards for the GWRS final expansion or the final completion of this project that has been decades in the making. So we've already been successful at receiving some awards, and some of these awards were received in 2008. So here's a list of some of those. We will continue to receive more, so I'll continue to report it out as those come in. And then just wanted to mention, we did implement an 8-week social media campaign jointly with OCSAN, where we featured employee testimonials, video, board testimonials, newsletters, a lot of joint social media. So partnering with some of our producers and other agency to expand our reach to celebrate the significant milestone of the 15th anniversary of the groundwater replenishment system. We issued a joint press release, and then each agency has a different e-newsletter. I know OCSAN has the 5 minutes, so they featured something about the GWRS in that edition, and then OCWD had a special edition focused on the GWRS 15th anniversary. In January, we received new bottles of GWRS water, so we did do a commemorative edition of water. We have about 16,000 bottles, and then we commemorated the 15 years as well as the final completion. We will give those out at Friday's event. So this slide takes us to the event. So it will be Friday from 11 to 1. And I'll go over the logistics and where the actual event site will be. But I want to give you an idea of the program first. So from 11 to noon, the first hour, that will be the speaking program. So we will have the OCWD board president, the OCSAN chair, and they will be up on stage, and then we will have these confirmed speakers who are listed here. They will also be seated up on stage. So you'll see we have 3 members of Congress, Lou Correa, Young Kim, and Katie Porter. They will be providing about 3 minutes of remarks during the program. And then the next 3 individuals are from the California State Legislature. So we have Tree Ta, Sharon Quirk Silva, and Cotty Petrie Norris. So members of the state legislature will provide 2-minute remarks. And then we do have 1 board member from the State Water Board, Sean McGuire, and he will provide a 1-minute remark about the funding that supported the project. And then prior to doing our plaque unveiling and toast, we will have a few OCWD and OCSAN board members come up and share some remarks on the project, and those will be kept to about 1 minute each. So following that speaking program, we'll kind of go down in front of the stage, and all of the OCSAN current board members and OCWD current board members will be invited right in front of the stage to unveil the plaque together, and then to get a bottle of GWRS water and then do a commemorative toast. So that is what we look forward to for the speaking program. We anticipate it will be an hour, though it is difficult sometimes to control the elected officials. And then following that, we will have, you can see it on here, where the yellow square that's noted reception area, we will have a tent, and that's where we will provide lunch and beverages. And for those folks that are interested in taking a tour, we will have staff available to take folks on a tour, or folks can also take a self-guided walking tour. So we have created a pamphlet or a brochure that guides individuals on that tour and then includes the relevant data about the project. So where will the event be? It's actually going to be, you know, within the GWRS campus. So you can see there Microfiltration West, Microfiltration East, and then you see that long yellow area. We are going to have a tent. So we'll have tent and we'll have chairs for about 400 individuals. As of today, we have 340 registered guests. We do have about 90 OCWD and OCSAN employees who are working the event, from parking to check-in to greeting, a lot of different roles to make this event happen. So they'll be seated, the 400 chairs. They will be a stage up by the gate of microfiltration right there. And then we'll give an opportunity. We do have sponsors. So we have 9 sponsors for this event. We've collected $45,000 to help offset the event cost. So our vendors and partners will have an opportunity to have booths there.
So Gina, just, mm-hmm. just to be clear, the directors would be parking in the pink areas,
mm-hmm.
Which is the normal parking lot. So you'd come in the normal way through the main gate, past the guard shack, and then come up around and park in the what we would consider our main lot, just so that you're all aware. And I don't, you're probably getting to it. The other parking is off of Garfield.
Okay, I did.
For other guests, and we mm-hmm. provide the shuttle. So they'll park in the back of OC Sands properties, and we'll have a shuttle that will bring them up into the event area. So it probably would be helpful to get there a little bit early, because there could be a lot of traffic, if you will, and it'd be nice to get there and get seated. All the directors will be seated in the front rows mm-hmm. From both agencies. So we're trying to make this as easy as possible for everyone. And maybe you can, with the mouse, show where the VIP check-in is. It's right near the front. It's at
right here.
Right there. So you'll park in the other pink squares around the back of the lab if you need to, which isn't shown on there, and then check in right at that front gate right behind the stage.
Mm-hmm. So who are the dignitaries?
Those are the members of Congress and the State Assembly.
All of the speakers. So, you know, President Green, and then chair, the chair from the Sand District will be on stage. Ivanka. Thank you. we're just staying safe with chair. They'll be on the stage, as well as, like Mike said, there'll be, let's see, 7 speakers, 3 congressional reps, 3 state, and then the board member from Sean McGuire. And so I did want to mention, Mike, do we want to talk about the toast? So in past, you know, for the 2008, for the 2015 event, I think everyone, including the speakers, were welcome to do the toast and the unveiling of the plaque. So I don't know if we wanted to proceed that way or if we just wanted to invite only OCWD and OC San board members. It's the pleasure of the committee and the board to decide.
I think we were deciding the latter and then invite, because we'll already be, Chad and I will be already down where the and our respective boards will just come up and surround us. And then after that toast, then the speakers on stage can come down and then they can do a toast too. But okay. After we do the first toast with just the respective.
The current board members will just do the plaque unveiling and the toast.
From the 2 agencies.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So we'll let them know then to stay on stage until after the boards do the toast and then invite them to come down.
Okay.
Keep them up there.
Just keep them up there. Okay.
That way we'll already be there. Already be down below. And it's going to be too much confusion.
Okay.
So keep them on stage.
That's what we ended up.
Okay. Thank you for that direction. Okay. And then we have hired a professional parking and logistics company who is going to help. That'll be a lot of cars, a lot of parking. And we want to make sure that we get folks in easily, safely, and quickly. So that's why we do have the 3 different parking areas. And then in addition, we have hired an audiovisual company who's going to provide all of the AV. They are going to professionally record the event. So we will have that momentum to take a recording to post on our websites, to share on social media as well. We'll have photographers there. And then the backdrop behind our stage will be a large video wall. We'll put some images and logos up. So that'll be a great backdrop to the celebration. As I mentioned, we have 340 attendees, and then Mike said that we will have reserved seating for OCWD and OCSAN board members that are not seated on the stage. This is a list of our sponsors, so we're thankful to all of these nine companies who provided financial support for this event. There is a portion that will, the remainder will be covered. Part of it comes from the GWS final expansion budget. The remaining amount will be cost shared by OCWD and OCSAN. And then here's the parking, which I think we are clear on, and we've been working with Fountain Valley PD and Fire, and we have definitely had a lot of walkthroughs and visits to help try to ensure that everything goes smoothly. We will have those individuals on site. We work jointly with OCSAN also to do the appropriate security for this event. So we have ramped up a lot of that and are confident everything will go smoothly. All of the registered guests have already received directions electronically, as well as a parking pass. So that information should be out there. That concludes the presentation. What else did I want to mention? That we do have media. So we have sent out an alert. So far we have the Associated Press is going to cover the event. So that's Amy Taxon, who's covered water-related issues in this area. The Orange County Register, Orange Coast Magazine, and I feel like I'm forgetting one, but we have four confirmed media, but we just sent another blast out today. And this week we are going to be targeting broadcast media. In addition, we'll have some film crews here from OC World, which is a PBS show, as well as some of our vendors who are putting together videos to highlight this project and their partnership in it. So there will be a lot of cameras and an opportunity to commemorate this great occasion. Any questions?
Give me a place so I have to walk too far.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Do we have a golf cart or something that can help people get it?
So we do. So in VIP, we do have golf carts. We can also make sure that your parking is very close to the park, wherever Chad's at. Okay. Yes, we'll definitely accommodate that.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you. Can you go back to that picture where we started?
Oh, apologize. Sure.
Let's see.
You want to see yours? Okay.
I think you gotta take a second.
Absolutely.
I remember you started all this.
Yeah. One back.
Back one more. Okay.
There we go. Right
there. Mm.
What year was that?
1973.
Old. I was only 12 years old, Chad. Wow.
That's you, did?
That's Guinness. Yeah. Pre-COVID, so it had to have been probably about 5 years.
Yeah, 28. Uh-huh.
Let's get that Guinness book where I get back.
All right. Any director's announcements or reports? Anybody? GM report?
Nothing. GM? Well, I'll go first. Age before beauty, right? We're both Cal Poly guys, so we can kid each other. You know, I would just like to pile on and really thank staff for the outstanding job that they've done, not only on the final expansion, but on all the projects, the thousands of people that were involved in the project. You know, I always say the vision of the boards back in the 90s to move forward with a project like this that had never been done using technology that really was untested at the time, but understanding the value of what was being proposed and to move forward with that. We've just had a great crew over the years. And as I said, you hate to start naming names because you're going to leave people out. but to those boards in the past, to those boards of the present, they are the decision makers, policy makers, and the ones that drive the project. I remember Director Bilodeau being recently elected on the board, and one of the first things he had to do was vote to move forward with the original project back in about 2002, I think. And so for someone coming in, you can imagine as a newly elected director and having to vote on a half a billion dollar project was something that took probably a lot of intestinal fortitude. But the support, the individuals, Sandy, her great work on the final expansion, Mayhole, his great work on the initial expansion, running the plant, Mayhole. I often say he's the one that's been plugged into the project the longest. He started his career here in 1995 as a recent graduate. I think you just graduated your master's. Yeah, from Long Beach State, although he's a Cal Poly guy too. You got three Cal Poly guys right here. That says something about four. Okay, we can keep on expanding that. But Mayhul came in and he started with the pilot testing back in the mid-90s. And he has stayed with the project ever since, you know, and now runs the thing. So just a tremendous shout out to all those employees, past and present, directors, past and present. They're the ones that made this happen.
Thanks, bro. I will also pile on and say, I always say technical is easy and people are hard. And I think what makes GWRS the success it is the people and the culture of cooperation. That starts with the boards of directors and gets all the way down to every operator. Every member of the staff knows what the mission is and they know who they're serving. And I think as we have the opportunity to speak to others who are trying to emulate the success that is GWRS, they can't wrap their minds in other agencies how wastewater and water can work together. Everybody's angling for how they can get out ahead, how they can protect their interests. And they don't understand that the bigger interest is the people that they in tandem serve. And I think that's the most important part of GWRS. That's why it is successful. And that's why it will continue to be successful. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Our next GWRS steering committee meeting is July 10th, 2023. And we'll determine which items, if any, are to be agendized at a later date. So thank you everybody for being here. We got a good turnout. We have dinner in the back. So we are adjourned.
Sandy, you know how you did the time lapse of the project? Do you now have it from start to finish?
So yeah,
that's a good question.
That would be so cool to have it show there.
Yeah, the paving at Plant 2 is literally what we were waiting for. So I think it's finishing the final paving. If anyone from OC Sands hangs out at Plant 2, I think it's going to finish on Wednesday. So yes, once we get that final time lapse, but that's at Plant 2. So
that'd be awesome.
Okay.
All right. We're adjourned.
We've got that.